For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Governor Northam orders hospitals to put off elective surgeries during the pandemic. Virginia expects some relief from stimulus bills working their way through Congress, but will it be enough? And now that many of us are more socially isolated than ever, some are taking in cats for companionship. This is the WMRA Daily for Thursday, March 26th. As of this morning, nearly 5,400 people in Virginia have been tested for the coronavirus, with 391 cases now confirmed. 9 people have died in the Commonwealth from COVID-19. During a news briefing on Wednesday, Governor Ralph Northam said the state is working to reduce the strain on intensive care units at Virginia's hospitals. Virginia Public Radio's Nick Gilmore reports.
The governor said the state plans to do that by potentially allowing medical students to help and reworking certain licensing guidelines to bring as many hands on deck as possible. The Virginia Medical Reserve Corps will also be used.
The VMCR is a force of dedicated volunteers who stand ready to support the community in the event of a public health emergency such as this. We have more than 8,000 deployable volunteers.
More than 1,500 people have volunteered in the last month. Northam also indicated his administration has been working with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers.
The Corps can build emergency hospital bed capacity in sites that we identify for them. We are working to assess several potential locations in regions across Virginia should the need arise.
The governor is also suspending elective surgeries to preserve hospital capacity and supplies of personal protective equipment. I'm Nick Gilmore.
Northam also announced Wednesday that effective this Friday, overnight facilities and restrooms at Virginia State Parks will be closed through April 30th as part of the Commonwealth's continued response to slow the spread of the outbreak. The closure includes all overnight facilities such as cabins, campgrounds, and yurts, as well as restrooms and bathhouses. Reservations will be canceled and reservation holders will automatically receive refunds. But Virginia State Parks remain open for day-use activities such as hiking, biking, wildlife viewing, and exercise, so you still can get out and enjoy the parks. Staff will be available by phone if assistance is needed. Northam also asked Liberty University President Jerry Falwell Jr. to reconsider his decision to welcome students back to the Lynchburg campus this week after their spring break. Northam criticized Liberty, which is among the nation's largest and most prominent evangelical colleges, as sending mixed messages about the outbreak. Residential students were told they were welcome to return to campus, according to an email sent to students. The move was at odds with other colleges and universities who have sent students home for the rest of the academic year for online instruction. Rockingham County Public Schools says it is changing its meal distribution plan to provide meals for children 2 days a week. Beginning next week, meals will be available from 4 to 6 p.m. Mondays and Wednesdays at 9 locations for children ages 2 to 18. Kids must be accompanied by a parent, but they do not have to be students in the county school system. Children may pick up a total of 10 meals each week per child, while schools are closed due to the coronavirus outbreak. Harrisonburg City Schools has a similar distribution plan for students with pickup at 8 school locations on Tuesdays and Thursdays. An unprecedented interruption in the global supply chain is straining the system. Inventories of everything from vital medical supplies to household staples such as toilet paper are in high demand, causing panic up and down the chain. Virginia Public Radio's Robbie Harris talked with an expert about the problem.
Barbara Hoops teaches a course on the global supply chain in the MBA program at Virginia Tech.
I really do think that supply chains are having their 15 minutes of fame right now. People are all of a sudden aware of how goods and services get delivered to them when we really have just paid very little attention to that.
But not anymore. Take toilet paper, which is produced right here in the U.S.
And still, we can't get it to the shelves effectively when there is irrational behavior in the marketplace.
Hoop says there's no shortage of the stuff in any part of the supply chain, not the raw materials or the production line. But because demand has skyrocketed amid this pandemic, it's caused what they call in the industry the bullwhip effect.
So right now, there is not stock on the shelves. When we do find it, people tend to be overbuying. So that means they won't have to buy it again for, 6, 8 months.
And since there's no actual lack of toilet paper, when the product is back in stock, demand for TP will drop because people have stocked up. That's when the bullwhip swings back around from understock to overstock. Hoop says it's not a new phenomenon, but
it is particularly fierce right now simply because of the conditions under which we're operating, which are relatively unique.
I'm Robbie Harris.
Virginia Secretary of Finance Aubrey Lane says Virginia will receive funding from an emergency aid package currently working through Congress. Lane outlined just how much during a news briefing on Wednesday.
There's a provision in there that says at a minimum, even a small state would receive $1.5 billion, and hopefully Virginia will get much more than that.
Lane told lawmakers last week that the state could lose up to $1 billion a year over the upcoming two-year budget cycle due to COVID-19. Some of that shortfall could be mitigated by $2 billion in the state's rainy day fund. 7th District Democratic Representative Abigail Spanberger and 5th District Republican Denver Riggleman are often on opposite sides of major votes in the House of Representatives, but they both say they are likely to support the $2 trillion relief package making its way now through Congress from partner station VPM, Ben Pavier reports.
The package includes extensions for unemployment insurance, $1,200 checks to most Americans, and over $800 billion in loans for small businesses and corporations. Spanberger says she's still reviewing the bill.
But the fact that it has emerged from the Senate bipartisan with the support of Democrats and Republicans, I think, is valuable.
Riggleman likes the relief for businesses, which he says will be key to restarting the economy.
This isn't a bailout. This is a structural fix right now for a pandemic to ensure that these companies can stay in business.
But the two Virginia representatives do disagree about President Donald Trump's leadership. Riggleman says he's done well, but Spanberger says he's been slow to act and mobilize medical supplies.
That's Ben Pavier reporting. 6th District Republican Ben Klein has voted against previous relief bills in the House responding to the pandemic. Meanwhile, Denver Riggleman is defending President Trump's use of the phrase China virus or Chinese virus. The phrase has drawn criticism from, among others, China and from Asian Americans who say they have been targeted for hate crimes. But Riggleman told VPM News that he believes the naming is no different than the West Nile virus.
It is a virus that originated from China, and I think at this point it's just a non-issue to even worry about what we're calling it right now when we're trying to fight a pandemic.
Critics say the difference is that there is a long racist history of blaming foreigners, particularly Asians, for spreading disease. The proper term for the virus causing the current pandemic is the novel coronavirus. The disease it causes is COVID-19. As folks stay home to avoid contracting or transmitting COVID-19, some are turning to fostering cats for companionship, which is good news for nonprofit animal rescue, Cat's Cradle in Harrisonburg. But others are having to give up their pets for the same reason. WMRA's Randy B. Hagee reports.
Cat's Cradle is a foster-based organization, meaning that the cats they care for are mostly placed in people's homes rather than a central shelter location. And while they've had to cancel adoption events at PetSmarts in Harrisonburg and Waynesboro, they've seen an increase in applications to become cat foster parents.
I've gotten about a dozen just in the past couple days. And it's a variety of people. It's students, people in the community, I think, that are working from home and they have their kids at home. So it's a great time to foster.
Christy Tabor is a foster coordinator and licensed veterinary technician.
We are able to put cats into foster care and still practice social distancing and good hygiene and, give the fosters what they need.
Their services are especially important now because besides the novel coronavirus, it's almost time for another pandemic, kitten season. In light of the annual deluge of kittens usually born in the spring, Cat's Cradle is holding a fundraising challenge through April 1st called Beat the Heat to fund spay and neuter surgeries. Tabor said a generous donor is matching monetary donations, which can be made through their website.
This is something that we do every year. It's for our spay-neuter program, and we do it about this time of year because we're getting ready to come into kitten season. So this is a time when cats start coming into heat and start breeding and producing kittens.
Sadly, in addition to more people interested in fostering, Tabor said they've also gotten more calls in the last few weeks about people looking to surrender their cat because they can't currently afford cat food or medical services.
If it's food related, we can certainly help out with food. That's why donations are very important. That way we can pass them on to people who are in need right now. I think people are also maybe thinking they might not be able to care for their cats in the future because of the COVID-19.
But for the felines who do end up in the care of Cat's Cradle,
now is a great time to foster, so I would love to keep seeing the foster applications come in.
For WMRA News, I'm Randy Behage.
Finally today, many people with disabilities or who are elderly rely on home health care workers to come to their houses and help them stay safe and healthy. Tens of thousands of people in Virginia work as a home health or personal care aide. Now, those mostly low-wage workers are on the front lines of a pandemic. Virginia Public Radio's Mallory Nopain reports.
Karen Acra is 61 and lives in South Boston, a small town near the North Carolina line. She's a certified nurse assistant and has three patients she regularly visits at home. That routine hasn't stopped as COVID-19 has spread. For instance, one of her patients...
He lives by himself and go on dialysis, and he has one leg. So I have to go in there to check on him.
She is taking extra precautions, like always wearing gloves. But when we spoke on the phone earlier this week, she was down to just 10 face masks.
Yeah, sometimes I take the disinfectant, Lysol, then I just spray it.
To keep using the mask, you'll spray it with Lysol.
Yeah, but I haven't been throwing them away yet. After I wear them, I go back and put them in another Ziploc bag. I spray them, put them in another Ziploc bag, but I don't know how sanitary that is.
Advocates for home health care workers are concerned they're not getting the guidance or equipment they need to keep themselves and their patients safe.
There is no social distancing for home care workers. They are hands-on workers, and they are heroes.
David Broder is president of Virginia's chapter of SEIU, a union that helps represent home health care workers. He says if they start getting sick, the spread of the virus could get exponentially worse.
And yet, they're lacking personal protective equipment like masks and goggles and face shields. They're not getting training, and they lack the paid leave that they and their families need to take care of themselves as they're taking care of others.
Angelina Drake with the nonprofit group Paraprofessional Healthcare Institute says there are steps state leaders can take now to help support home healthcare workers. One is making it explicit in official documents that home aides are part of the essential healthcare workforce. That way, they aren't left out of policy initiatives meant to support those workers. She also suggests state officials not forget about home healthcare agencies when distributing personal protective equipment.
We understand there's going to be a level of triage that happens that puts this equipment in the hands of frontline hospital and emergency room providers, but the home care workforce is right behind them. They're helping, again, stop the spread and flatten the curve. So if there are resources available, these agencies are absolutely in need.
The Virginia Department of Health lists COVID-19 resources online for everyone from dentists to emergency responders. But there's no information specifically targeted to home health care workers. In the absence, caregivers are figuring things out for themselves. Azza Vandecastle lives in Ashburn and takes care of her 84-year-old mother. She has to go grocery shopping often to meet her mom's dietary needs, but every trip outside feels dangerous.
Because if she died because of me, I will not forgive myself, you know?
But not going out is not an option for you.
No, there is no. Who's going to bring medicine or food? No, you can't.
So Vandecastle has been covering her face with a scarf, keeping her distance from others, and showering as soon as she gets home. In Richmond, I'm Mallory Nopain.
For more news about the coronavirus, check out a new daily news podcast from NPR. It's called The Coronavirus Daily. NPR has also supplied a permanent link to live coverage from the White House, which means that most days we will not be carrying the president's daily briefings live on the air, but you can still watch them online. That link is on our website, WMRA.org, and on the WMRA app. And again, tonight and every weeknight, we will bring you a new show on the coronavirus pandemic, engaging through social media with interviews with experts, conversations about the crisis here, the national conversation on WMRA every weeknight at 9. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicki. Thanks for listening. Stay safely connected and do enjoy your Thursday.